It is near midnight, and on the lawn of Sir Marmaduke's mansion, all who drank of the sorcerer's potion still sleep. Tiptoeing among the prostrate forms comes Mr. Wells with dark lantern, followed by Alexis and Arlene.
At this mystic hour, the magic drink should manifest its power. My father is not here.
And pray, where is my mother, dear?
I did not think it meet to see a dame of lengthy pedigree, a baronet and KCB, a doctor of divinity, and that respectable QC, all fast asleep al frescoli. And so I had them carried home and put to bed respectably. And put to bed respectably. I trust my conduct meets your approbation.
Sir, you acted with discrimination and showed more delicate appreciation than we expect in persons of your station.
Yes, it showed more delicate appreciation than they expect in persons of your station. But soft, they waken one by one. The spell has worked, the deed is done. I would suggest that we retire while love the housemaid lights her kitchen fire. While love the housemaid lights her kitchen fire.
Just
heart of nectar I long have loved, as who would not our kind and reverend rector? Long years ago my love began, so sweetly yet so sadly. But when I saw this plain old man, away my old affection ran. I found I loved him madly. I loved him madly.
Eh? What did you say?
Very, very plain old man, I love you madly. You very plain old man, I love you madly.
I am a very deaf old man, and hear you very badly.
You very plain old man, she loves you madly.
I know not why I love him so. It is enchantment, surely. He's dry and snuffy, deaf and slow, ill-tempered, weak and poorly. He's ugly and absurdly dressed, and 67 nearly. He's everything that I detest, but if the truth must be confessed, I love him very dear. Everything that I detest, but still I love you dearly. You're all that I detest, I love you dearly.
I caught that line, but for the rest I did not hear it clearly.
You very say no man, you love you dearly.
Oh joy, the charm works well, and all are now united.
The blind young boy obeys the spell, their troth they all have plighted. Oh bitter joy, no words can tell how my heart is blighted. They'll soon employ a marriage bell to say that we're united. I do confess an anxious care my humbled spirit vexes, and not the blessings unaware of their beloved Alexis. Of their Alexis.
Oh,
to joy, no words can tell how my heart is blighted. They'll soon employ a marriage bell to say.
They all seem in their newfound happiness.
The whole village has paired off in the happiest manner. And yet not a match has been made that the hollow world would not consider ill-advised.
But we are wiser, far wiser than the world. Observe the good that will become of these ill-assorted unions. The miserly wife will check the reckless expenditure of her too frivolous consort. The wealthy husband will shower innumerable bonnets on his penniless bride. And the young and lively spouse will cheer the declining days of her aged partner with comic songs unceasing.
What a delightful prospect for him.
But one thing remains to be done that my happiness may be complete. We must drink the philter ourselves, that I may be assured of your love forever and ever.
Oh, Alexis, do you doubt me? Is it necessary that such love as ours should be secured by artificial means? Oh, no, no, no.
My dear Aline, time works terrible changes, and I want to place our love beyond the chance of change.
Alexis, it is already far beyond that chance. Have faith in me, for my love can never, never change.
Then you absolutely refuse?
I do. If you cannot trust me, you have no right to love me, no right to be loved by me.
Enough! Aline, I shall know how to interpret this refusal.
Thou hast the power thy vaunted love to sanctify, all doubt above, despite the cabbing shade, to make that love of thine so sure that come what may, it must endure till time itself shall fade. Thy love is but a flower that fades within the hour. If such thy love, O shame, call it by other name. Thy love is but a flower that fades within the hour. If such thy love, O shame, call it by other name, it is not love, it is not love. Thine is the power and thine alone to place me on so proud a throne that kings might envy me. A priceless throne of love untold, more rare than orient pearl and gold. But no, no, thou wouldst be free. Such love is like the ray that dies within the day. If such thy love, O shame, call it by other name. Such love is like the ray that dies within the day. If such thy love, O shame, call it by other name, it is not love, it is not love.
It is singular. It is very singular. It has overthrown all my calculations. It is distinctly opposed to the doctrine of averages. I cannot understand it.
Dear Dr. Daly, what has puzzled you?
My dear, this village has not hitherto been addicted to marrying and giving in marriage. Hitherto the youths of this village have not been enterprising, and the maidens have been distinctly coy. Judge then of my surprise when I tell you that the whole village came to me in a body just now and implored me to join them in matrimony with as little delay as possible. Even your excellent father has hinted to me that before very long it is not unlikely that he also may change his condition.
Oh, Alexis, do you hear that? Are you not delighted?
Yes. Oh, confess that a union between your mother and my father would be a happy circumstance indeed. My dear sir, the news that you bring us is very gratifying.
Yes, still in my eyes it has its melancholy side. This universal marrying recalls the happy days, now alas gone forever, when I myself might have... But hush, I am puling. I am too old to marry, and yet within the last half hour I have greatly yearned for companionship. I never remarked it before, but the young maidens of this village are very comely. So likewise are the middle-aged, also the elderly. All are comely, and all are engaged.
Alexis, here comes your father.
Dr. Daly, give me joy. Alexis, my dear boy, you will, I am sure, be pleased to hear that my declining days are not unlikely to be solaced by the companionship of this good, virtuous, and amiable woman.
Mrs. Partlett?
My dear father, this is not altogether what I expected. I am certainly taken somewhat by surprise. Still, it can hardly be necessary to assure you that any wife of yours is a mother of mine. It is not quite what I could have wished.
Oh, sir, I entreat your forgiveness. I am aware that socially I'm not everything that could be desired, nor am I blessed with an abundance of worldly goods. But I can at least confer on your estimable father the great and priceless dowry of a true, tender, and loving heart.
I do not question it. After all, a faithful love is the true source of every earthly joy.
I knew that my boy would not blame his poor father for acting on the impulse of a heart that has never yet misled him. Zora is not perhaps what the world calls beautiful.
Still, she is comely, distinctly comely.
Zora is very good and very clean and honest and quite sober in her habits. And that is worth far more than beauty, dear Sir Marmaduke.
Yes, beauty will fade and perish, but personal cleanliness is practically undying, for it can be renewed whenever it discovers symptoms of decay. My dear Sir Marmaduke, I heartily congratulate you.
I rejoice that it's decided. Happy now will be my life, for my father is provided with a kind and tender wife.
She'll tend him, nurse him, mend him, bear his linen, dry his tears, bless the thoughtful fates that sent him such a wife to soothe his years. No young lady, thoughtless maiden, full of graces, airs, and jeers, but a sober widow laden with the weight of 50 years.
No high-born exacting beauty, blazing like a jeweled sun, but a wife who to her duty, as that duty should be done.
She will tend him, nurse him, mend him, care his linen, dry his tears, bless the thoughtful face that sent him such a wife to soothe his years.
I'm no saucy minx or giddy, hussy such as them are fond, but a clean and tidy witty will be known for miles around.
All the village now have mated, and are happy as can be. I to live alone am fated, no one left to marry.
No one left to marry. She will tend him, nurse him, mend him, air his linen, dry his tears, bless the thoughtful face that sent him such a wife to soothe his years.
Bless the thoughtful face.
Sadly soliloquizing in the park, the sorcerer is interrupted by Lady Sangajur, deep in the spell of the love philtre.
I have wrought much evil with my spells, an ill I can't undo. This is too bad of you, J.W. Wells. What wrong have they done you? And see, another lovelorn lady comes. Alas, poor stricken dame. A gentle pensiveness her life benumbs, and mine alone the blame.
Alas for me, and well a day, I sigh for love, and well I may, for I am very old and gray. But stay, what is this fairy form I see before me?
Oh, horrible! She's going to adore me. This last catastrophe is overpowering.
Why do you gaze at me with visage lowering? For pity's sake, recoil not thus from me.
My lady, leave me. This can never be. Hate me, I drop my H's half through life.
Love me, I drop them too.
Hate me, I always eat peas with a knife.
Love me, I eat like you.
Hate me, I often roll down one tree hill.
Love me, I meet you.
Hate me, I sometimes go to Rocheville.
Love me, that joy I shall. Love me, my prejudices I forever drop.
Hate me, that's not enough.
Love me, I'll come and help you in the shop.
Hate me, the life is rough.
Love me, my grammar I would offer swell.
Hate me, abjure my lot.
Love me, I'll stick sunflowers in my hair.
Hate me, they'll suit you not. At what I'm going to say, be not enraged. I may not love you, for I am engaged.
Engaged, engaged.
Engaged to a maiden fair with bright brown hair and a sweet and simple smile, who waits for me by the sounding sea on a South Pacific isle. Alive, no maiden waits me there.
She has bright brown hair.
Alive, no maiden smiles on me.
By the sounding sea.
The sounding sea.
Oh, agony, rage, despair. The maiden has bright brown hair, and mine is as white as snow. False man it would be your fault if I go to the family vault and bury my lifelong woe.
Oh, agony, rage, despair. Oh, where will this end? Oh, where? I should very much like to know. It would certainly be my fault if she goes to her family vault to bury her lifelong woe.
False man it would be your fault if I go to my family vault to bury my lifelong woe. The family vault.
The vault.
The family vault.
The
family vault.
The family vault.
The vault.
The family vault.
The
family vault.
The family vault.
The family vault,
the
family vault,
the family vault,
the family vault.
Yes, the family vault.
Alexis, doubt me not, my love. Stay by not a will.
my voice is sad and low, and with timid step I go, for with load of love o'erladen, I inquire of every maiden, will you wed me, little lady? Will you share my cottage shady? Little lady answers no. Kindly proffer, good your heart and full your coffer, yet I must decline your offer. I'm engaged to so and so. So and so, so and so. So and so, she's engaged to so and so. A rogue young heart to pillage, what a worker on love's tillage. Every maiden in the village is engaged to so and so. So and so, so and so. So, so and so.
Some most extraordinary spell o'er us has cast its magic fell. The consequence I need not tell. We pity, pity you.
Some most extraordinary spell o'er us has cast. false one, because I spurn thee, to thy new lover turn thee, thy perfidy all men shall know.
I could not help it.
Come on, come on.
I could not help it.
Obey my call.
I could not help it.
No thought of sorrow shames her, another lover claims her, be his false girl, for better or for worse, but ere you leave me, may a lover's curse.
Hold, be just. This poor child drank the philtre at your instance. She hurried off to meet you, but most unhappily she met me instead. As you had administered the potion to both of us, the result was inevitable. But fear nothing from me. I will be no man's rival. I shall quit the country at once and bury my sorrow in the congenial gloom of a colonial bishopric.
My excellent old friend. Oh, Mr. Wells, what is to be done?
I do not know. And yet, there is one means by which this spell may be removed.
Name it. Oh, name it.
Or you, or I must yield up his life to Arimanes. I would rather it were you. I should have no hesitation in sacrificing my own life to spare yours, but we take stock next week, and it would not be fair on the co.
True. Well, I am ready.
No, it must not be. Mr. Wells, if Alexis must die that all may be restored to their old loves, what is to become of me? I should be left out in the cold with no love to be restored to.
True. I did not think of that. My friends, I appeal to you, and I will leave the decision in your hands.
Or he, or I must die. Which shall it be? Reply.
Die thou, the heart that goes of all offending.
Die thou, yield thou to this decree unbending.
Die thou, die thou, die thou.
So be it, I submit. My fate is sealed to popular opinion. Thus I yield. Be happy all. Leave me to my despair. I go, it matters not with whom. Or where.
All of you.
At least we'll crown our rapture with another feast.
Now to the banquet press, now for the eggs and the ham. Now for the mustard and crisp, now for the strawberry jam. Now for the tea of our host, now for the rolling bun. Now for the muffin and toast, and now for the gay Sandy Lund. Now for the muffin and toast, and now for the gay Sandy Lund. The eggs in the ham, the strawberry jam, the rolling bun, and the gay Sandy Lund. The eggs in the ham, the strawberry jam, the rolling bun, and the gay Sandy Lund. The eggs in the ham, the strawberry jam, the rolling bun, the rolling bun, and the gay Sandy Lund.
In that complete performance of The Sorcerer by W.S. Gilbert and Arthur Sullivan, the cast was as follows. Sir Marmaduke, sung by John Cameron and spoken by Ralph Truman. Alexis, sung by Lloyd Strauss-Smith and spoken by Barry Ingham. Dr. Daly, sung by Leslie Fison and spoken by Frederick Treves. The Notary, John Frost. John Wellington Wells, sung by Eric Schilling and spoken by Hugh Burden. Lady Sangajur, Sybil Michelot. Arlene, sung by Jeanette Sinclair and spoken by Judy Franklin. Mrs. Partlet, sung by Catherine Lawson and spoken by Shirley Cooklin. Constance, sung by Ellen Dales and spoken by Gudrun Ewer. The John McCarthy Singers and the BBC Concert Orchestra leader Arthur Levins were conducted by Stanford Robinson, and the program was produced by Michael Moores and Peter Bryant. The program was recorded. The next opera in the series will be on the 13th of February at 12 noon, when you can hear a complete performance of HMS Pinafore.